Well, I sure appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight. I am so very thankful that I got the invite, and I'm thankful that you got the air conditioner fixed. If some of you might not get that, but I was drenched the last time I was here. It was my own fault, or let me blame it on my doctor. I think's the way to go with that. I want to invite you tonight to find a Bible and get to the book of Proverbs. We're going to visit there some a little bit as we talk tonight. And I hope the things I will share with you will be a benefit to you. It always is from a great opportunity to share things from God's Word. But, I was looking at a couple of things one day, and I came across ABC, not that I have a whole lot of confidence in what they do sometimes. But I found that they had ran a poll some years back, and it said 3/4 of the people in America who believe in heaven and had the belief there was an eternal place, they think that people of all kinds of religions can get there as long as they are sincere in what they believe. And so one day a preacher stood before a group much like this, and he began to preach that same message. He talked about the only way to get to heaven was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And a day or two later, he happened to be in their local post office, and the standing in the line, as you do many times in the post office, this young lady walked up to him and said, "Preacher, I visited your church Sunday. I disagree with what you had to say about all of us not being able to go to heaven. I believe as long as we are sincere, we can get there." And the preacher, rather than rebut her at a place like that, he said, "Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Can we study?" And she said, "No, let me stop you right there. But here we are both at the post office at the same place. I don't know how you got here, but I came down this road and I got here at the post office. I assume you came the other way and you got to the post office. Do you understand we're both at the same place and we got here different ways?" And he said, "Sister, I understand you completely, but the one thing I want you to know, when I die, I don't want to be going to the post office." And you and I both know the Word of God itself very plainly, and that was the lesson he taught from John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's nobody going to heaven except through me." And it's written right there, very plain and simple, very easy to understand. But I want to tell you, sometimes I wonder about people and the directions they take. Is this on? Yeah, there we go. I want to drift back in time to 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. You remember anything at all about that challenge that he had? His destination was India or to China. And if you know anything at all about what we call him, he discovered America, you know that he ended up on the complete opposite side of where he was headed, because India was down around and back up the other side, and he ended up over here somewhere in the Caribbean. And of course we know that, I want to tell you, he ended up going in the wrong direction. He thought going west was the way, and everybody told him the other way was the way to go. So here was a guy that had his directions wrong. Focus on the picture, if you will, in front of you, and you NFL fans might know a lot of what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I was a young man in 1964. Matter of fact, I was a teenager in 19... As a matter of fact, I was 14 years old in 1964, and I had a friend named Scott who absolutely all he ever talked about was the Minnesota Vikings. That's all he ever talked about. So you can imagine, being from a family of 6 boys, the amount of, I'm just going to say, ragging we did on one another when somebody slipped up. But it was a wonderful thing to catch Scott the next day and said, Minnesota Vikings, they got a guy that picked up a fumble and he ran the wrong way and threw it up in the air in the end zone and the other team scored the safety. I said, now what kind of team is that? And of course I made fun of him time after time because back then they weren't near the same teams, but that was just part of what it was. Well, I want you to know these two guys were directionally challenged. One got the wrong map. The other one got collisioned and picked up the ball and got turned around and went the wrong way. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in America going the wrong way with their spiritual belief and how they will find heaven at the end of their life. And that is a dangerous thing, and we need to tread lightly when we begin to investigate where I am directionally. And I want you to know I would like to share with you that there are many people that live their lives the same way. They go the wrong way. What they have done is lose sight of maybe a goal they had. Maybe they lose sight of what they were really trying to accomplish in their life. And just so many people end up going the wrong way. And many people are what I call directionally challenged. And we're going to talk a little bit about that exact terminology. That terminology in our life spiritually, because it is a dangerous thing to get turned around and move away from God. Move away from heaven by the way that we direct our lives and the things that we begin to do and the things we get to begin to do. Some people just wander through life wondering what will happen to them. And they expect sometimes, unfortunately, that all things will turn out all right. I ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs and be ready to go, but I want to jump back over to the book of Luke first. I want to share with you one that was wandering through life. He's called the rich fool. Proverbs 12, verse 13, then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with him." And he goes on down, he says, hey, listen, life is not measured by how much you own. So he goes on to tell them this story. And this would be important for us to hear, because I don't care if it's barns, I don't care if it's things you accumulate. It's the end of what I'm getting ready to share with you that is so important to us being headed in the right direction. As a Christian, I need to be pointed in the right direction. Notice what it says. He told them a story. A rich man had fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods, and I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, and I love the terminology, you fool. Because when we get into Proverbs, you're going to hear that word an awful lot to ones that don't follow God's word. You fool, this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? You're not taking it with you. You're not going to get everything you worked for. And he goes on in 21, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. And obviously, this rich man was directionally challenged because he thought that's where the answer was, and he thought this was more important, and he had no relationship with God. And it can be a terrible, terrible thing to be directionally challenged when somebody is given specific directions on how to live and how to get there, but they don't follow up on it. The book of Proverbs is covered up with wise sayings. Things that will help us in our direction. Things that will help us in our challenge. But the greatest thing it provides for us is the wisdom that it gives us. And I want to suggest to you tonight as we begin that wisdom is more about decisions that we make than the things that you know. It's more about the decisions you make than the things you know. You might have a different feeling about words like knowledge, but that's what wisdom is. Ability to make the decision. You know, I want to turn by now to Proverbs chapter 7. I want to share with you a story here. And I want to tell you about some poor decisions, bad decisions. And it's good for us to reflect on this because it has a very, very interesting story that has unfolded here in Proverbs 7. Look with me in verse 6 where we will start. And this is Solomon writing this, and he is, listen what he's saying. I was sitting on my porch looking out my window, looking through the curtain, and I saw some naive young man, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house, just walking along. And the boy doesn't seem to know where he's going. He has no specific direction where he is heading. It appears he's just killing time, walking around. He's out taking in the sights of the city, but he's apparently headed in the wrong area of town, down the wrong street, the wrong time of day, and he meets up with the wrong kind of woman. She comes out to meet him as you go on reading. She comes out to meet him and greet him. And let me just tell you, she's a good-looking woman. She catches his attention right away. And notice what happens next. She makes him feel good about himself. I mean, that's the way that this is headed. She looks good. She tells him how good he looks or whatever she says to him. And it goes on. And since this young man has nothing better to do, his direction was challenged. He got on the wrong part of where he was needed to be going. He goes in with her and spends time with this adulterous woman. Kind of interesting. And then as it drops down in chapter 7, I want you to notice the description with me in verse 22. Looking at verse 22 and verse 23. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to a slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierced his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. In other words, he will live to regret the decision that he's made. But how did he end up in such a bad situation? Because we find out he ended up lacking judgment. Y'all live in Tampa Bay, the home area of a lot of champions. I noticed the Bolts just won. I know about the Buccaneers. I know the Rays had a good year. And so I just want to maybe just call this to your mind. How many great athletes? I'll use them. Actors, famous people with thinking that we believe they're on the top level of society. They've got everything they want. But how often does the media come on and say, Tampa Bay Buck defensive back arrested, abusing his wife. Lightning Bolt, whatever he is, ends up in a riot with the police. Famous actor ends up running from the police. All those different kind of people. That what happens is they make the same decision the young man made. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong kind of people. And it is a scary thing when we begin to think about those that lack judgment or wise things to be able to make great decisions. But like the foolish young man in Proverbs 7, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I want you to back up with me and just think about this. How many of those guys can make the right decision at the end of the game with 30 seconds left to make the right adjustment on a pass route for the winning touchdown? Or to score the final goal? Or know how to stall the clock so they're shooting the magical three-pointer to win the game? Happens all the time. We see it all the time. It is in front of us. But then we read about the decisions they made, and they were directionally challenged by wrong choices, bad choices, and other things that they made in their life. And that is frightens me when we talk about our spiritual life. But have you ever thought about Proverbs 7? Notice what it says in the very first line. a lesson Solomon is sharing with his son. A lot lesson he's sharing with his son. He's telling them the story because what does he want to do? I want to drive this home to my sons. And he tells them the story. I don't know how many times he told them the story. I don't know how many times he sat around the table with his sons and told them this story. But he told his sons the story because he understood the value of knowing. They needed to understand. You've got to understand the value of knowing where you're going at the end of your life and knowing where you're going in life and be aware of the decisions that you are going to have to make. You got to know where you're going. So he paints this picture for them of this young man, naive, walking down the street, meeting up with this loose woman. And he had no specific direction he needed to be going to. He had no business going where he went. And so I want you to know, and I'd like to share with you, the fact that we all know something about the directions we're headed. You think about driving your car. You get all that lined up. I don't know how it is now. I made my first trip to the Tampa airport in a long time just today. And getting back out of there, I had to have Mr. Talker, GPS there with me to get me to the right road to get back over to Savannah and Ryan's house. Had to do it because I wasn't exactly sure. I mean, it's grown so much. Same way where I live in Ocala, I can find my way around. I just get in the car and fly by the seat, sit by the seat of my pants and get to where I'm going without any help at all. I could do that. But I want to tell you that if we go on a hike, it is almost one of those rules that you carry a compass. You don't want to lose your direction. You don't want to go where you don't need to be. But you know, it's a shame that so many people live their life without any direction. I want to get somewhere. If we want to get somewhere in our life, we better have a direction in mind. If we want to be with God eternally, we better lock into the direction He wants to take us. Many of you have heard of Yogi Berra, Hall of Fame catcher for the New York Yankees and manager later, but he makes all kinds of yogiisms throughout his life. He would say things that sounded like they were going to make sense, but didn't make any sense at the end. But listen to this that he shared. You got to be careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there. Kind of silly quote, but that kind of points it up. You better know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you might not get there. Well, too many people don't know where they're going, and they might not get there. And it's a frightening thing to think about. They're like the foolish young man in Proverbs. Just like him, they have no specific direction in their life. And one day they'll end up going somewhere they don't want to be. And they're going to regret that choice that they made. Solomon says, don't do that. He said that. Don't live your life aimlessly. Have a direction where you're going and how to get there. Look with me at the book of Matthew. Oh, it's on the screen. And we're all familiar with Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. And the Word of God tells us that you can enter God's kingdom, notice what it uses the word, only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide and for the many who choose to go that way. But the gateway to life is narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. I want to suggest to you that we think about the fact that happy, successful, godly people, all of us have to have that destination in mind. And, you know, all of those things that we follow in our life will make a big difference where we end up. We need to have a specific enough destination for our lives to avoid wandering into harmless lifestyles. We have got to have a foundation. We got to lock that down. I don't care how many times Don or Jonathan get up in front of you and tell you the same thing over and over again. You can never tell it enough times. You can never tell a teenager enough times. You can never tell a middle-aged husband and wife enough times. You can never tell someone my age or older enough times the Word of God and exactly how He expects us to live, helping them solidify that destination. Where do you want to go? If you're here, that means you probably have a desire always to be fed from God's Word, because that's the feeding that takes place. The prayers that were offered, the song that we glorify God in our singing, our joining our voices together. That's where you need to be. But you know, God has great news for us. He knows the direction we should take our life. And I think about the rich man that comes running to him in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke. And they come running and they say, Jesus, teacher, they call him many different things in those three places that it's recorded in those books. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? Give me some specifics that I have to do. Well, tell me about what you're doing. He goes on and they run down a list of what they've done. Yes, I've done that. Check, 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 check. This one thing you lack. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. And you know, they turn and they go away because they're very rich. He is very rich, I should say, not they, because it's the same person. And you know, it's just interesting to me that that continues to go on and on and on. You know, the thing that we sometimes forget as we are challenged in life by the things that blow through our life, or the collisions we make with temptation, the lifestyles that it brings into our homes and we allow into our homes, and we get knocked off course a little bit and we get lose sight of where we need to be going. Even though we have specific direction, we are directionally challenged because that seems to be appealing. Don't ever forget that you and I are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You are created for good works, which have already been prepared for you. And He has laid out that course. His plan for your life is tailored for your needs and for what you desire. It is all there for us to follow and to do. So I want to take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. I want you to notice as we began, I told you that the wisdom was what the book of Proverbs is all about, being able to make decisions. And I want you to notice in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1, reading through verse 6, the fact that wisdom calls us out. And it's a personification, because He uses personification to put it into a woman standing there. And notice, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the city where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside gates, the gates leading in the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all of mankind. He identifies me right away with the next word. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say to you. I open my lips to speak what is right. So the book of Proverbs has so much to say about wisdom and gaining that knowledge that we need to make great decisions. Having wisdom in our life is the principal thing we need to be about. It helps us avoid those bad choices that have been made that we just read about in Proverbs 7. And I will tell you, bad choices are kind of tough, because they will affect us for a long time and can follow us a long way. We have got to put ourselves in a position that we can avoid bad choices. Avoiding bad choices are very important to you and I as New Testament Christians. Notice with me in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. By gaining that knowledge, you will make good and right decisions on your journey, the destination you're headed, and that's to heaven. And then it goes on to say that we need to develop good judgment. And I'll tell you, those two things go hand in hand, and they're tied right there together. But they are so very important to us as we walk through life as Christians. And gaining that wisdom is the wisest thing we could ever do. Because it's not all about gaining knowledge, it's about making that decision when the time comes. Because each and every one of us make decisions every day. Things blow across our face every day. Things enter our ears every day, cross our eyes. We are challenged every day, regardless of our age, as New Testament Christians. We're challenged by the things of the world. And we could go to the New Testament and read passage after passage about the dangers of that. But we're aware of the fact of this wise man is telling us through the Word of God, listen, you've got to develop good judgment. And that's really what it's going to get down to. A little bit of personal discipline, because I've been wise enough to listen to the Word of God, and then I can make a good, sound judgment on whether to do it or not to do it based on what I know God has in store for me. Because remember, He's lined up the destination. You're not challenged about if you're wanting to go to heaven, how to get there. God's laid it out there for us pretty plain, pretty simple, and that's a wonderful thing. Also notice, as we talk about avoiding bad choices, that I've had a hard time in my life growing spiritually understanding the growth spiritually of someone else as I've matured, about how in the world someone expects to know all those things and do all those things and avoid the instruction of the Word of God. Avoiding the Word of God and the opportunity to have a teacher and to sit at their feet, regardless of who's doing it, and share with you what they have studied from the Word of God about instruction from God's Word about how we need to be living. I don't want to listen to them. Well, you know what? This is what the Word of God has told us. We better commit ourselves to His instruction, because the destination is prepared. He has gone to prepare that place, and the directions are there. The instruction is there, and I need to be about that. We need to listen to the words of knowledge, Proverbs 23:12, the value of wisdom. It is an amazing thing. We need to commit ourselves to those things. The value of it is unbelievable. I don't know how you feel about it, or whether you watch anything having to do with financial up and downs and all that other stuff, but gold and silver, a lot of people talk about, a lot of people are wooed by that kind of stuff, and they get all, you know, hyped up about that. But the value of wisdom is just unbelievable to me. We need to get ourselves in a position where we understand that what we are gaining from God's Word is more valuable than rubies. Wisdom is better than gold, and good judgment is better than silver. So those two things that people clamor for and think are important, yes, they are, maybe, if that's what you're about. But if you're about getting to heaven and the destination of where we need to be, we need to take a look at this and know about the value of it. And so with that, I suggest to you that we need to look at where to find wisdom. Finding wisdom is one of those things that we need to be about. Proverbs 2:6 says, the Lord gives it. The Lord gives it to us. He has provided it through the Holy Spirit, through inspired men, to write down and record these things for us. If we need to ask, if we need that wisdom, we need to ask God for it. Book of James chapter 1 and verse 5. But if any one of you needs wisdom, you should ask God for it, He's generous to everyone, willing to give it without criticizing or being about, why do you need it? But there are four things that I wish you would take away with you tonight as we leave. Four things that you need to understand from God's Word. The first of those that is very plain and very simple. The direction you are going determines your destination. I don't know how many of you have been on a trip. My wife and I just recently got back from a trip, and we were running down 75. You know, every now and then, it must have been every rest area when Savannah was young and her sisters, we'd have to pull into every rest area for them to walk around and do other things in a rest area. But Trudy and I would stop every now and then. But I don't know when the last time you went to a rest area was. Well, we were in one the other day and walked up to the map. And I don't know if you've ever noticed them, but they've got a big red circle. You are here. You are here. And you can look at the map wherever you're traveling. And it helped kids or travelers to know exactly where they were, how far they've come, how far they have to go. But it says, you are here. And so what I want you to know, where are you? That map would tell you where you were traveling, but the direction you are going determines your destination. Wayne can't stand up here, even from the Word of God, and tell you your destination. It is a challenge in front of you individually as to where you are. And so that's one of the first thing I want you to take away tonight. And then I'll just tell you, I don't know what the world will tell you, what your best friend would tell you, what your husband would tell you, your wife would tell you. I don't know what they would tell you about the best thing that you could be doing or the best way you could be going. But the best direction for our lives is to flat out follow God's plan. Do what He has asked us to do, and we would be good in doing that. It would be a great step in doing that. And then finally, we need to get wisdom. We need to gain that understanding of judgment and making good decisions. We need to get that. And so with that in mind, I want you to think about those things. And I think that we all need to know that we need to evaluate individually where we are and what we need to be doing to be on God's plan to where we need to be headed. If we fall on our way, we can get back up. Because God, the great thing that I can read about Him is the great love He had for mankind, even for me. The great love He had for me. And He allows me to start over and to begin again. Thank you for your good attention. We'll be dismissed with prayer in a minute. Sir? I'm finished. Yeah. I'm going to pray? Okay. Sorry. I misunderstood. I was looking for the chief prayer. No. Let's bow together. Our God and Father, we are just so thankful to be able to be here. We praise You for all the abundance of blessings that we're showered with. We are constantly bombarded with Your great love through our families, through this church family that we join together with tonight, but just other worldly blessings that we have in our life. But Father, more than that, the great blessing of Your Son Jesus and what He has provided for each of us. And Father, we pray that the words that were shared tonight from Your holy word will find their way to hearts that need to hear them, because we all need to understand that there is only one way to get to You at the end of our life, to join in the riches of eternal life, and that is through Your Son, Jesus. We pray that You will forgive us of the transgressions that have been part of our life. Pray that we will move from them and move forward in our life. And we're praying, Father, that again, that You would just continue to bless us. Help bless us and give us the attitude of being better servants tomorrow than we were today, serving You, glorifying You in all we do. All of this we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.